I've been preaching a sermon series on prayer, and today is the last day of that series. And so far I've preached that prayer is a relationship. Prayer is a rescue, our spiritual 911 call. I also said that prayer is a request. Jesus commands us to make requests constantly. I also said last Sunday, prayer is a rest. We find the true rest when we pray. And this morning, we'll consider prayer as a reclaim, as you see the title in your bulletin. Now, before I dig deeper, let me tell you what I mean by the word reclaim. I'm using the Oxford Dictionary definition. Reclaim is the action of retrieving or recovering of or obtaining the return of something previously lost, given or paid. Now, based on that understanding, here's my own definition of prayer as a reclaim. Prayer is an act of retrieving of our heart, of our post, I'm going to explain to you later, and of our loved ones previously lost in spiritual warfare. Now, since we are talking about the spiritual warfare, I need to give you an overview of spiritual world. You don't need my explanation about the physical world that we see with our naked eyes. Everyone could see that. But there's another world we call spiritual world, where there are three major players. God, of course, and the devil, on the other hand, and us, we human beings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and Satan himself wanted to be the ruler of the universe. So he rebelled against God, and he enticed Adam and Eve through temptation, and sin came into the world. And since then, the spiritual warfare has been on between two camps, or two armies, if you will. One is that God and his children, and the other camp is the devil and his followers. 2,000 years ago, the major battle was fought and won by Jesus Christ at the cross. By his own death and resurrection, Jesus crushed Satan's head. Now, although the major battle was won, the skirmishes are still going on in the world today. Where is the battleground? Is your heart. It will be so until Christ comes. Now, let me refresh you why Christ came to this world. He came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says this, the person who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God, referring to Jesus Christ, appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Now you may wonder, what was and what is and what will be the works of the devil? And Jesus explains it in a very simple way, like this, in John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, referring to the devil, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. You see, the devil destroys the lives of people through hate, rebellion, disobedience, unrighteousness and unforgiving spirit, greed and fleshly desires. And all of them, in a nutshell, are called sin in the Bible. Sin brings forth separation from God. As you could imagine, God is the holy God, and sin had no place whatsoever in the presence of God. So sin automatically separates us from God, and there are consequences of sin, which is called death. Now, everyone is appointed to die once, and we will stand before the judgment throne, the Bible says, and we are to pay the wages of sin, the consequences of sin through our second death at the judgment throne. You need explanation on second death. What do you mean the second death? You know, when we die physically, the Bible often calls not death, but it often calls like sleep. In other words, it's not the end of our life. There's a life waiting for us afterwards. So we all resurrected and stand before God's judgment throne. And based upon what we have there, God will either send us to heaven or send us to the fiery place we call hell. And the Bible in Revelation 21:8 calls that thing, those people who are thrown into the hell, they have second death. That's what is it called. Anyway, you and I don't have to worry about it because, thank God, Christ has taken care of that part. How? He has paid the wages of our sin and your sin and mine through His own death once and for all. God looks at what Christ has done for us and He overlooks our trespasses because the price, the wages of sin, has been paid fully in Christ. Now listen to here, God's promise here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ has set you free from the law of sin and death. And what God did is this, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, which is with Jesus Christ, and as an offering for sin. And He condemned sin in the flesh. In other words, God put sin on Christ, and Christ has paid the wages of sin on our behalf. Now, because of what Christ has done, we are more than conquerors, the Bible says. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. It's a beautiful thing. In other words, along with Christ, when Christ won the battle and we are party, you know, just the army of Christ, we also celebrate the victory as victors. This is what the Bible says. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can declare to sin and death like this. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? In other words, they have no dominion over us. That's who we are now. Now, after Jesus won the major victory at the cross, He took over the enemy's territory. Now, imagine this. How many of you remember seeing the image or the photo of the Iwo Jima, World War II? Some of you remember that one? Iwo Jima is one of the islands in Japan when the U.S. Marines and Army, you know, just invaded that land and they just conquered it. First thing they did is that raising the flag on the top of that Iwo Jima island, right? That's what Christ did. He took over the enemy's territory and placed the, you know, cross and saying that this is mine. And then Christ assigned each and every one of us to defend the post of victory. That's what I mean when I say we claim our post. The post of our victory. Yet somehow somewhere down the road, we lost it. Many of us are still living under the bondage of sin, and we are afraid of death too, and we still serve the fleshly desires that wage war against our own souls. Even worse, we forgot that we are free from the slavery to sin and death. We deserted Jesus Christ, our new master, and went back to the old master we call sin, and we abandoned our post and went our own ways, and the worst, the enemy snuck back in, into our hearts and into our lives and into the lives of our loved ones. And that's why so many lives today are in a mess. And that's why I believe, you know, we need a reclaim. It is time that God reclaimed your heart and mind. It is time that we reclaimed our post. It is time that Jesus reclaimed our loved ones from the devil's snare. It is time that we kept all under Christ's reign. So how do we reclaim and keep them? Only through prayers. Now I want you to turn to the bulletin now and the scripture lesson. And I encourage you to read together with me verse 12. Verse 12 only. Ready? Let's do it. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Remember how Jesus won the battle at the cross, not by sword, folks, but by his own blood. Likewise, we fight the spiritual battle differently, not by guns, not by missiles, not by tanks, but by prayers and petitions. Why prayer? Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. It would be very foolish of us, naive of us, to think that the world we see with our eyes, this is the only world we have. No, there is another world, spiritual world, going on. Now, prayer in this physical world may look abstract and even very ineffective to live in this world, but in spiritual warfare, prayer is the most powerful and effective weapon against our enemies. Who says so? God does. Who practiced so? Jesus did. Now, let's listen to another Christian whose name was Watchman Nee, whom I highly admired. And if you ask me, Pastor Choi, when you grow up and grow mature in Christian faith, who would be the one who influenced the most? I would say this person, Watchman Nee, Chinese Christian. Now, he went to be with the Lord a long time ago. And this is what he said. By the way, you know, a little background. He was a Chinese Christian leader, and he was imprisoned because of his faith in Christ under communism in the 1960s and 70s. He spent almost 20 years in prison. The Western Christians wanted to ransom and pay the ransom for him and so that he could be freed and come to America. The money was ready, and they offered to Chinese government, would you free Watchman Nee from prison, taking this money? Chinese government willing to do so, but Watchman Nee says, no, I'd rather die in prison with my fellow brothers in Christ. And that's what exactly he did. Anyway, this is what he says about spiritual warfare. God has an arch enemy, and under this arch enemy's power are countless demons and fallen angels seeking to overrun the world with evil and to exclude God from his own kingdom. Whenever you see something, you hear something just out of this world, why this happening, before you blame God, where is God in all of this, you have to understand there's evil forces out there. Okay? And you could say, Lord, when are you going to take evil forces out? That's the right question to ask. But it's the wrong question to ask, where is God in all of this? Because you forget there are evil forces in the devil and his followers messing up the world. Okay? So let me move on. This is what Watchman Nee says. The meaning of verse 12 is this. It is an explanation of things taking place around us. We see only flesh and blood ranged against us. That is to say, a world system of hostile kings and rulers and sinners and evil men. So says the Paul, our wrestling is not against these, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. In short, against the wiles of the devil himself. Two thrones are at war. God is claiming the earth for his dominion, and Satan is seeking to usurp the authority of God. The church is called to displace Satan from his present realm and to make Christ head over all. What are we doing about it? We are called to stand and defend our post, every one of you. Now, let me tell you the story of Nehemiah. Some of you reading the Bible may be going through this part in the Old Testament. Nehemiah was the leader of the Israelites in the 6th century before Christ was born. At the time, all the people of Israel were exiled in the land they called Babylonian Kingdom. But the king, Cyrus, gracious enough to send them back. So Nehemiah was leading this, you know, Jewish folks coming back home. By the time they arrived Jerusalem was in ruins, total ruins. And its gates had been burned with fire, you could imagine. What do you do? Nehemiah, the governor of Israel at the time, what he did is there are several hundred people he came with. He assigned every able man and family and tribe to repair their assigned sections. They divided whatever the section they need to work on, the walls, rebuilding the walls. You do this and your family this and you do this, and they all assigned. What they did is that despite the harassment from the enemies of Israel, of course they didn't want Israel to thrive here, so they just harassed them, but they were able to rebuild the entire wall of Jerusalem in 52 days. How did they do it? Day and night they worked, just hammer on one hand and spear on the other. That's how they did it. The key word here is everyone, folks. No exception. Remember, if you read the verse 12 one more time, it begins with our struggle. It's not just someone else's. It's not the pastor's or that of a few chosen people. It's yours and mine to be engaged in spiritual struggle against our enemies. Old and young and male and female. You may think, Pastor Choi, I'm a senior citizen. I'm 80 years old. I'm too old for this. No. Did you know that Moses was called to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt when he was 80 years old? You still have 40 years to work on. Moses died in the age of 120. No. Are you a follower of Christ? Then you have guard duty. Do you claim that you are God's child? Then you have a post to keep. Do you claim eternal life in Christ? Then you better believe that you are called to be a soldier in God's kingdom, to defend your post, nobody else's but yours, until Christ returns. So I'm going to present to you three things to reclaim quickly, if you desire to. Number one, your heart. God cares about you. Especially your heart. He really cares about your heart. You know, if you remember Jesus who was resurrected from the dead, and after that they had a nice breakfast, Peter and the disciples and Jesus. So after breakfast was over, this is what, remember Peter denied the Lord three times in one night? So Jesus asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And Peter was a little embarrassed. That reminded him of the thing that he denied the Lord. Yes, Lord, I love you. And Jesus asked the second question, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And third time Jesus said, Peter, son of John, do you love me? And by then Peter was rather embarrassed. And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. What do you think Jesus raising these questions three times? He was looking for, he desires Peter's heart. You ask the same question. Jesus asked the same question. Do you love me? How would you answer? Where is your heart for the Lord? Give yours to the Lord today. Cast away all the idols in your heart and come back to Jesus. By the way, if you have something in your idol, whatever it is, it could be money, it could be fame, it could be power, whatever it is, even the pleasure, entertainment, whatever it is, cast them away and give the throne in your heart to Jesus. That's what I mean. Give him your heart back. Ask him to create the desire in your heart to worship and serve him only, and ask him to grant power to do his will. Give him your heart. Second thing we need to claim is your post. Trust in what Christ has done. He won the battle, and the cross is, you know, banner of cross, you know, flying. The post is yours to defend. Reclaim the post from the devil's lies and deceptions. Reclaim it in the name of Jesus. And once reclaimed, do not abandon your post. Stand firm where you are and never give up your post to the devil again, because God's kingdom relies on you. Third one is this. Reclaim your loved ones. This one requires your prayers and fasting, folks. I know you'd all pray, but we need to just pray harder. We need dedicated prayer warriors who understand the nature of spiritual battles. Remember, you are not fighting against flesh and blood. Your enemies are the spiritual forces of evil. How do you do it? With your prayers and perseverance. With relentless petitions on behalf of your loved ones. How many of you are praying for the eternal life of your loved ones every day? Raise your hand. Your family. If you don't, you better start praying for you. When you stand before God and you say, Lord, I'm here. God says, welcome to heaven. Where's the rest of your family? How would you say it? I don't know. Is that the answer you have? You know, I've been praying for my family. I have 5 brothers and sisters, and on my wife's side, she has another 4 brothers and sisters and whatnot. I have scores of people to pray every single day. One thing I've been praying for 40 years, still going on, is this. Lord, do not miss any one of my family members in your presence in heaven. You better, because they rely on your prayers. They need you. Your loved ones depend on your prayers. Their lives, both temporal and eternal, depend on you. As much as you care for them and say, I pray for their healing, why don't you pray for eternal life? As for closing, I will say this. Another, you know, quote from the Watchman Nee. He says this, no Christian can hope to enter the warfare of the ages without learning the following 2 things. First one, they must learn to rest in Christ, which I spoke about last Sunday. And second, they must follow him in a practical, holy life. If the person is deficient in either of these 2, he will find, or she'll find out, that all the talk about spiritual warfare remains only talk. He will never know its reality. Satan can afford to ignore that person, for he or she does not count for anything. It's a really scary thing. We can talk about spiritual warfare, but if you do not do it, if you do not know how to rest in Christ before your labor, if you don't follow him in a practical, holy life, it's not going to work. So today, I humbly ask you to give your heart back to God. Reclaim your post from the devil. Reclaim your loved ones from the devil's schemes. Pray, pray, and pray. Let's bow us and pray. I pray that, Lord, you open up our eyes to see what's really going on in this world. Not only in the world we see and touch, but in the world that we may not see with our eyes. Christ commands us to stand and defend our post. The war is over. The major battle is done. A skirmish is still going on in our hearts. Help us, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.